It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 294, entitled Palinopsia: Revise Your Notion of Reality. It was recorded on Monday, the 22nd of April, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by three fabulous guests. I'm joined by Paul Halfpenny, by Pete Chineri, and Tim Nash. It's a WordPress podcast, so we do talk a little bit about WordPress. We talk about how much faster WordPress has become in recent versions, and we talk about the fact that wouldn't it be nice to have some sort of grid implementation in WordPress Core? What might that look like? The Page Builder Summit is back. Version 7.0, you can subscribe now to get your free ticket. A new survey is trying to find out about the equality of gender in the WordPress business space. There's a whole bunch of forum updates in terms of the way that they look, and some other WordPress properties have been updated as well. We talk about the fact of in-person events coming back, especially the WordPress London meetup. And we also spend a really long time talking about light and dark mode. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WP Builds. And by Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. Find out more at weglot.com. It is This Week in WordPress. It's episode number 294. As you can see, I'm joined by three fabulous people. I got to say a big thank you to two of our guests in particular, because they stepped in at kind of like the 11th hour. We had a little bit of, what was that TV show in the UK? Was it Celebrity Squares or something, where all the guests would move about halfway through the show? And yeah, it's a little bit like that. We had people shuffling about a little bit. So thank you for stepping in and helping me out. I do appreciate it. But who have we got this week? Well, we're joined over there by Paul Halfpenny. How are you, Paul? Paul's still on mute. He's either on mute or the platform. He was on mute.
I was on mute. I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, good.
Just back from holiday in Singapore and Malaysia. Had a wonderful time. Got sunburnt like a proper British person.
Nice.
And yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, that, I'm very jealous. Well, Paul is the CTO at Filter, and he's also the founder of Personalized WP, which is a new plugin, actually, to personalize your WordPress website. Go check it out. Personalize with a Z or a Z.
Z.
WP. Is it .com? Personalizedwp.com?
It is .com. Absolutely. Go and check it out.
We can link to that in the show notes, I would have thought. Also, by Peacher. Peacher Neri, how are you doing, Peacher?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
Yeah, good, 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 good. Peacher is one of the people that stepped in, so appreciate that very much. Peacher Neri is a UX and accessible design lead. She's also a consultant, speaker, and instructor. We've got a few bits and pieces that Peacher wants to share at the end of the show, some of the bits and pieces that she is working on, courses and so on. So we'll stick around to the end, and we will make sure that they get mentioned. And stepping in right at the 11th hour. In fact, kind of stepping out and stepping in. There was quite a lot of in and out, shake it all about this week. It's Tim Nash. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
Nice to have you. The technology dislikes Tim this week. He's got a better camera, but the technology will not allow him to deploy the better camera. So you've got the slightly grainy version of Tim.
You're all popping, and I'm like really flat. I'm like, doesn't matter how much lighter you put on, it's like
flat. Well, I shall file a support ticket with the platform, and I'm not sure that they'll fix it, but you never know. We live in hope. Tim is a WordPress security consultant and professional, I love this, professional doom speaker and now Fancy Pants YouTuber. He is a Fancy Pants YouTuber. I'll tell you about that in a second. As such, he is legally required to disclose he is a YouTuber to everyone repeatedly. You put a lot of effort into that video that you released last week or the week before or whenever it was. So bravo for that. I bet there was a lot to learn, right?
Yes. So I'd done a couple of like similar-ish videos. I did one for WooSesh last year. But yes, there was a lot of hours put into it.
Video
and
takes.
Retakes. And that in fact was the version that you saw of me was filmed in October last year. I redid it in like February. And I screwed up, I have an hour, I'm going to do this. And I got home and looked at the footage and went, oh, you could see the teleprompter.
Oh, I'm so mad at this. Oh no. What, you could actually see the words going off?
Yeah.
You got the angle wrong.
Yeah. So lots to learn, but really enjoying it. Got another video coming out soon.
Video is unforgiving. You know, if you make a mistake, you really have to redo it. Whereas with audio, you can just stop and just carry on and then just delete that little bit and nobody's any the wiser. But with all the sort of chopping and changing, if you move, you know, and suddenly everything jitters, kind of looks really weird. Anyway, that's our little panel today. A few bits of housekeeping just before we begin. I don't think that we're going out on Facebook anymore. Bravo, Facebook, by the way. Way to spoil a platform. Until today, actually, we've been able to go live via the Facebook API that these platforms all use into Facebook groups and things like that. But they decided to kill it as of midnight last night. And, you know, there you go. I guess they're trying to wall that all off. I think you can still go out to Facebook pages. So a few of the bits and pieces I'm going to say might not quite be fitting, but we'll see. If you are on a Facebook property and somehow the API has actually rolled over, then you'll need to go to wave.video/lives/Facebook. Sorry, Peter. Sorry, Tim. whose faces have been ruined by the caption. In order for us to see who you are. Honestly, the best place to send everybody, we do this the same time every week, 2 p.m. UK time. Just send them here, wpbuilds.com/live. Over there, you'll be able to log in to some YouTube comments. And in order to do that, you need a Google account, obviously. So do that. Alternatively, if you don't want to be logged into anything, actually, the top right of the video is a little black box entitled Live Chat. And you can drop your messages in there and you don't need to be logged into anything. So, you know, you can sort of remain anonymous or what have you. Please share that if you're watching wpbuilds.com/live. And we've got a few little comments coming in. Let's have a look, see who said what. Firstly, Peacher. There she is, making a comment and it worked. Hello, indeed. Cameron Jones joining us from Australia. Good evening, anyone. Is that the new music I hear? No, it's not. It was an accident. I made it on that Suno app and then pressed the wrong button. So I shall delete it for next time. It is funny, though. I do love that kind of stuff. Peter, as always, joins us from Connecticut, where it's 7 degrees centigrade, 45 degrees Fahrenheit, gives us the weather each week. We had overnight frost warnings, so cover those seedlings. Okay, cover those seedlings. Could be this week's episode title. Already writing it down. Cover those seedlings. But if you guys, if the three of you hear a better thing that somebody says or mentions, write it down and we'll have a discussion after this episode has finished. Courtney's joining us. It was just below freezing when I woke up today, grabbing my second cup of coffee. Hi, friends. Oh, that's nice. Cameron again. I can see it's live on the Facebook page and in the group. Okay, so they lied to us, Cameron. Not only did they say that they were going to take away the API, they lied. Either that or the platforms have figured out a workaround in like the last, 14 hours or so. Apparently, they were all going to try and do that. As soon as it was deprecated, that API, apparently all the platforms are just geared up to figure out how to break it and work around it. So you never know. They might have done it. Hello from Maryland, says Jamie. Nice to have you with us. Andrew Tate is in. It's not the Andrew Tate that we're used to hearing from on the news. It says, hi from Darb. I guess Darb, Leeds, UK. I don't know where Darb is.
Drab,
he meant to say. Hi there from Drab, UK. It's not that nice here. I can't actually see the window anymore because I'm sporting a giant Page Builder Summit sign. More on that in a bit. But let's get into it, can we? Please keep the comments coming. It does liven up the show. If you've got something you want to say, something you want to add, something you want to throw at us, contradict us, whatever it is that you want to do, stick it in the comments. Keep it clean. It's a child-friendly show, but no children watch. You know, that would be insane. But let's get into it, shall we? Okay. Couple of bits of self-promotion. The first thing to say is this is our website, wpbuilds.com. As you can see, we are proudly sponsored by GoDaddy Pro and by Weglot. Thank you to both of those companies for helping us keep the lights on. If you want to subscribe to our newsletter, put your email address in there and we'll send you two emails a week, typically. We've got something a bit different coming up this week. One thing that we've got is we've got an activity pub rundown, a demo of the activity pub plugin in WordPress with the developer, Matthias Pfeffele. He was taken on by Automattic, I don't know, probably 18 months ago or something like that, when Mastodon and everything was taking off, when Elon Musk took over Twitter. This page is /schedule, wpbuilds.com/schedule. And if you click on that, you'll be able to add it to your calendar of choice. Okay.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's a nice little plugin. This calendar plugin is, it's called Pi Calendar. It's by the developer, well, one of the developers of Oxygen, and Jonathan Jernigan. It was Elijah Mills and Jonathan Jernigan. It's dead simple, super simple plugin that basically displays your posts and pages as calendar events, which is really nice. Yeah. So there you go. Another thing to mention is I've started another podcast. Well, it's not started. We're on week 8 now. So we've been doing it for like 3 or 4 months or something. And it's called The No Script Show. And this week we got into the meat and the bones of designing an effective homepage. It was kind of interesting, actually. I've never done this exercise before. Me and David got on the screens and just batted left and right what we thought this website should look like. It's intentionally rubbish so that we can improve it over time and claim that we're actually doing work. But it was genuinely quite interesting. And if you click on the episode, you'll be able to get to the latest one. And that was it there, number 8. And you can see like the sort of Figma designs that we threw together to see what the website might end up looking like. It was good. It was good fun. Anyway, noscript.show. And I apologize, last bit of promotion, Page Builder Summit. All right, woohoo. Back from the 20th to the 24th of May. If you fancy being a part of that, join the waitlist, stick your email in there, and we'll keep you up to date. It's a free event. You can watch the presentations for 48 hours after they go live. But that just enables us to keep you updated. So stick your email address in there. And if you fancy being a sponsor, we've got tiers ranging from $250, called a micro sponsor, right up to a few of the bigger sponsorship levels as well. If you click on the little link there, it takes you to our sponsor page. I am sorry, there was so much self-promotion in there, but it just is a confluence of stuff happening in my life at the moment. Okay, there we go. All righty, let's get into the meat and the bones of it. This post came from Felix Arntz. Felix is on the WordPress performance team, who I think probably it's fair to say have been around now for getting on for a couple of years, something along those lines, and done really, really great work. Or at least from my perspective, I think they've done really great work in speeding up WordPress. So this article is just a summation of the work that has been done over the last period of time since that team came into existence. And it's kind of pretty brilliant, I think, really. So it talks about the fact that, you know, WordPress, big platform, massive reach, needs to be fast. There's loads of competitors coming to eat WordPress's lunch. And so here we are. Here's some of the top level statistics, which Felix felt like he wanted to say. Since WordPress 6.3, there's been enhancements to image loading, which in some cases can result in up to 21% speed up in load time for images, especially with a hero image. 6.5 introduced a more efficient translation engine. I should say all of these are linked, so you can go and find the original articles. WordPress 6.5 also included several performances for optimizing the block editor, and they claim it means that the block editor is 5 times faster if you're in the process of typing things, and 2 times faster when you load. It did tend to drag a little bit when you loaded it, especially if it had loads of blocks and data in there. So that's kind of nice. And there's also a load of different initiatives outside of the block editor and WordPress itself, actually the software of WordPress. And that's things like automated tooling so that people who are creating their own products can actually, you know, poll against performance data and things like that. And last but by no means, oh yeah, which includes the plugin checker. So if you're a plugin developer, you can check your code to see if it's performant. And last but by no means least, the interactivity API most recently came out in 6.5, which makes things a lot faster, especially if you've got interactive elements on your website. So I just thought that was a nice little article summing things up. As always, the floor is now open. Just chime in whenever you feel necessary.
Celebrate your wins. I think that's one thing we're always really bad at internally is celebrating our wins. You know, you're so focused on what's coming next. So actually you don't celebrate it. And I think it's a really good example of going back and celebrating the good work that's been done. So
we just don't have time, do we? We're in that kind of industry where everything is constantly like the horizon thing. It's like, you know, what's coming? What are we doing? What's the next thing to ship? And sometimes, like you say, it's actually really nice just to go back and say, actually, we did pretty good.
Done a good thing.
Yeah, nice.
Very easy for us to not realize how much of an impact those changes are having, because most people who'll be watching this, there's a reasonable chance you're involved in WordPress. You probably pick your plugins very carefully. You probably do things to speed up your website and optimize it. So for you, you might not see the same sort of benefits that somebody who was just fresh to the project would just install and go, oh, this is snappy. This feels cool. This is working. And can't underplay how significant that is when you're in a world where, someone might go off to Squarespace or Wix or whatever. And actually having just played with a couple of those sort of services, they're slow.
Oh, really?
Huh. They are not an amazing interface. Very much, you know, over the last few months, all I hear is like, oh, yeah, you should go to these other services are so much better. They're going to catch up with WordPress. They're going to overtake. And it's like, they're not really that much faster. And what they produce is certainly not better. So it is really good, though, that we celebrate these things and show that progress is being made. Because otherwise, I think there's a perception that the world is catching up.
I think it's so easy to butcher your own WordPress website, though, isn't it? In terms of, you know, just like assuming that because plugins are there's no hit. So, you know, especially if you're a novice and you haven't spent any time in the community, you might chuck 50 different plugins in and then suddenly you're faced with this. Actually, this whole thing is just a mess. It's really slow. It takes me 20 seconds to load a page to edit and all of that kind of thing. And yeah, so little improvements. Like, well, they're not little. Some of these are pretty dramatic improvements over time.
And so the kids don't wait, do they? We're used to waiting. Like, I still remember dial-up modems. Or loading to my Spectrum game, taking 5 minutes to load and then breaking halfway through, and you're kind of, oh, just try it again.
Kids, can I ask you a question, Paul? Did you ever try to make a Spectrum game load by using your mouth? Did you ever go?
No.
I don't think I did. It didn't work, needless to say.
No.
The disappointment of getting to the end of a 9-minute cassette tape game and then something goes wrong at the 11th hour and the tape gets jammed or something and the whole thing died.
Still traumatized from playing The Hobbit on the BBCB. And it was multiple tapes. And my last tape was corrupted. I never know how it finishes. And it's to the point that I was at a car boot sale, still years ago, because obviously you don't find your car boot sales anymore, but years ago, and I found a copy of somebody had like the tapes, and I was like, well, I'm going to get this. And I've still got a BBCB in the attic, and I got home and then none of the tapes would play.
Oh, no kidding.
Double destruction.
The joy of having tapes. I actually discovered a box in the attic about 6 months ago full of tapes, cassette tapes, you know, albums like Marillion going back into the day. And And I realized I have no mechanism to play them. I've got no technology in my house to play them. And my wife, yesterday, ordered a CD, and it arrived yesterday. And I said to her, what are you going to play it on? And it turns out the only thing that we can play it on is in the car. We've got to go out to the car to listen to the CD, which I just thought was absolutely hysterical. Anyway, you're right in the sense that, you know, we have become incredibly obsessed with speed. You know, it frustrates me endlessly if I'm browsing somewhere and have to wait for 3 seconds. I see that as just almost like sacrilege. And so these improvements are helping satisfy our desire to be unnecessarily
fast.
Yeah. And do you know,
life is instant.
Do you know, Nathan, that as we get older, time does go by faster?
Mm.
So when I was at a UX conference in, it's a conference called Beyond Telerun in Berlin in September. And one of the talks was by someone who does, a woman. Yeah, she's called Tammy. I can't remember because I'm old, but whatever. Tammy, I'll find her because she was absolutely great. Loved her talk. And she works in web optimization. And the whole talk was about time and the way we perceive it and how incredibly important a factor speed is, way more than we think. As did we have this conversation already, Nathan?
No. It is your memory.
Yeah. So it was mind-blowing on a number of levels, but also it really made me think, okay, you have to take that. It's serious and really makes a difference. A second, more or less, makes a real difference. And she was saying, it was so funny. She was saying that now that you can use units of measurement. Uh-huh. And in her family, a unit of measurement is a Sharona. So if the kids, My Sharona, the King's song.
Yeah.
So to keep the kids okay in the car, they say, you know, how far is it? It's like, it's only 7 Sharonas.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I mean, time's over. Do you have to play?
But anyway, so I slightly digress because I thought that was so funny.
Great.
But however, speed is much more of a factor than some of us think. Maybe most of you're all thinking, no, I always knew that. I didn't quite as much. And also she really, really explained how the older you are, the faster time actually does go by.
If you can dig that out, I'd be really interested in reading that.
It's great. The talk is online on the Beyond Telerun website.
Okay, if you paste that into the chat, I'd be really happy about that.
I think it's to be with that. It's to do with the frame rate of your eyes.
Yeah,
that's as well.
You do less frames when you're older, so time goes faster.
I mean, it's just.
I mean, apparently,
it sounds an awful lot like an excuse.
Absolute shambles,
to be honest. Yeah, my frame rate's much.
I'm glitching. I can't take it in. So that's really interesting. But I do have the perception though that my children, their tolerance for things on the internet is far less than mine. You know, if things aren't snappy, because they have a complete expectation that everything will be more or less instant. And so WordPress needs to be that software for the next generation of children. You know, we need to be catering for the 15, 16-year-olds out there who are going to be coming through. I don't quite know what the data is, but it kind of feels to me like that might be another challenge that WordPress is going to face, getting the in air quotes, children and teenagers on board in the future. But that team, great article, just summing up and patting themselves on the back for a job well done. So yeah, thank you for that. We seem to have had a few comments, people saying hello and things like that. Thank you, Lawrence, for saying hello. Peter, he's obviously also used the PyCalendar plugin. And he says, working on improving accessibility. Yeah, I sent him a few things that I thought would be nice. Tammy, she always wanted a Spectrum. You had an Acorn Electron. You see, I got a Spectrum and then my mate got a Commodore 64. And I was like, what? Mine doesn't do more than two colors in one little icon at the same time. I was very jealous.
You don't need more than two colors, mate.
You don't need.
It's all about the playability. It's not about the colors.
I had to settle for that as well. Oh, how it annoyed me though. Wheel of Fortune for the win. I don't know what that one is, Tammy. Was that a Spectrum game? Maybe it was. And I'm guessing this is you, Paul.
Surely it's not. You'll be one of the team.
Oh, okay. So somebody from Paul's team, Filter, is saying we've blown on cartridges before, but I've never heard of vocal encouragement. What was that in relation to?
I think that's relation to another comment about licking
to getting the game started.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I was trying to get. Me's trying to sing the game. Spectrum 48K, yeah. Lawrence had one of those. I think had one with the rubber buttons first. Yeah, me. It was like a small breadboard or something like that. And then I upgraded to one with the plastic buttons. Yeah, that was a 128.
Spectrum 48K Plus had the.
Oh, really? There was that. Yeah, okay.
Because I had the Plus.
Yeah, aficionado. I couldn't afford the Plus. I had to wait several years. But I did have a little printer, and it had. It was literally toilet roll size.
Yeah.
No. And it burnt the paper. The paper was like this special silver paper, which was more costly than unicorn's blood. And it would burn it. And so every time you printed something, the whole house like smelled of burning something. It was incredibly inefficient. Okay. So there's loads of comments about computers and stuff. Sorry. There's a myth about licking Nintendo cartridges too. I don't want to know. What does that even mean? Lick or blow cartridges. Blah, 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 blah. Right. Long car ride. So we're back to the singing. Sharona's. Schnazzy says, long car rides with my six-year-old are counted down in Bluey episodes. A handy 10-minute increment. Yeah, we used to sing to our children, and it was the same sort of thing. 1.5 Octonauts episodes we used to have. What the heck have we opened up here? Tammy, indeed, your tolerance based on what you experience, and the way that you experience it. Right. Okay, silver paper, Lawrence. That was it. It was like this silver paper. And it was really expensive. And yeah, still remembers the smell. You see, I wasn't making it up. It's true, all of it. All right, that was that article. Should we move on? We spent a good deal of time on that one. Okay, here we go. So one of my pet things that I would love to get into WordPress, and I don't know how it's going to be managed, would be some sort of grid system, not a grid system, but, you know, grid, like we've got Flexbox kind of thing and all of that. It would be really nice to get grid in, but grid is a pretty mighty beast and you can do an awful lot with it. And so we're on the lookout at the minute, apparently. Estella Rueda has put an article out on the 9th of April asking for feedback for how that might be done in a block editor context. Because if you think about it, I'm not going to go into how to explain grid. I don't have the mental capability to do it as much as anything else. But the options that are available in grid to lay out complex layouts and have them collapse in all sorts of different ways and move around are pretty amazing. And how would you surface that in like a UI where you've got to click buttons and drag sliders and type in numbers for padding and margins and all that kind of stuff? And so there's an article here called The New Grid Experience, Feedback Needed, where that's exactly what they're trying to figure out. Like, what should be in the UI? What can we leave out? What must be put in? And it says they're working towards creating grid items via clickable or draggable empty cells, dragging between grid cells, removing columns and row start, and just changes the order of the grid items, and dragging on cells to add columns and row starts and things like that. So basically, this is me saying, if you've got any intuition of how that might be achieved, or if you've got any thoughts, please go there and shout your thoughts into the forum there, because I guess that would be quite important. For me, at least anyway, grid is probably the best way that we've got at the minute of laying things out in complicated ways. Any thoughts on that from you three?
It's a tough one, isn't it? The only thing that I will say about grid and content is that I know from lots of experience that people that are building websites, particularly clients of ours, want to choose what content is ordered in what way. So there'll always be a featured item and there'll always be, well, I want this pinned to the top. And as long as they nail that, it's all fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you could, in a sense, you could keep what we've got at the moment and that might be an adequate experience.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting feedback, you know, all alone, isn't it? But for
feels
me,
like it's trying to solve two problems, because what people actually want is from beige. You know, they basically want what you could do with tables 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But obviously web developers don't want it all powered by tables behind the scenes, and they want more fine-grained control. And these feel like two completely conflicting things. And maybe the answer is to give them two completely different solutions.
So not a core thing, like an opt-in, you know, maybe one of these canonical plugins or something where you could opt. Yeah.
It just feels like this is not necessarily as cool and as important as I think it is for most web developers and designers, doesn't necessarily make it an important thing for the average person who's going to be using the editor. And
I would love it. I would dearly love to have that.
Yeah. So I think Tim,
because I'm not a developer, so I completely understand Estella's point of view. Because I, correct me if Estella, if you're watching, but I, as far as I remember, Estella is more of a designer than a developer. So that'd be me. So I use CSS Grid in a Beaver Builder. I use a plugin. I use, you know, I love it. I love the way it makes my designs responsive and really, really responsive and really, really tight. Because coming from print, I really want predictable margins to stay where they are. I hate it when, you know, so I love it. I love CSS Grid, but it is a beast, as you were saying, Nathan. And even making the plugins work actually requires you really understanding CSS. You can't do it without any CSS.
Right. So actually, maybe that's useful feedback for Estella there, because if it were, let's say it was a canonical plugin. So a canonical plugin is this kind of new idea of plugins which will be supported as if they are core plugins. So they will be updated. They'll get security patches. So you can trust them. But they will not be a part of core. So if you download WordPress from WordPress.org, it won't be in there. You'll have to go looking for it, but you can rely on it as if it was a piece of core.
Pammy posted something about that actually, Nathan. Sorry to interrupt, but it's relevant.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. So Estella is posting on behalf of a design team and a PR for feedback. What I'll do is in the show, well, actually, let me just go back to that page. I'll just pop it up there and you can see where it is and what have you. So it's on make.wordpress.org. I won't read it out, but yeah, you can see in the links here will be, there you go, the PR is here. If you want to have a play. And the article, if you Google this, it's by Estella Rueda, The New Grid Experience Feedback Needed. It was published on the 9th of April. So anyway, so what I was just, and thank you, Tammy, that's really helpful. I was saying that it may be one of those things where there's too much information for a typical user, because it is hard to understand. And if suddenly your design is behaving in a way that you didn't anticipate, because it's not behaving like front page and, oh, suddenly we're on a tablet and why has that gone up there? You know, that kind of thing. Then maybe that's interesting feedback. Get in there, Peacher. Say that thing.
I will do that because...
Anyway.
It would be great to have. Anyway, yeah.
It would be nice. I think it would be nice to have in core. But now that we've had that conversation, I was only thinking about it from my own perspective. Now that the three of us have had that conversation, or the four of us have had that conversation, it does make me feel that it's probably not needed in core. And it might be a bit of overlap. Oh, unless it was a really simple implementation of Grid. Now I'm getting carried away.
there's no such thing. I think that's
exactly.
I don't think there is
a way to make this simple.
I think there is an easy implementation.
Patricia says she's already using the grid block already, and she loves it. Okay, I'm not familiar with the capabilities of the grid block particularly, but anyway, okie doke, let's move on. So this came my way from Ray Moray, who makes the repository email. By the way, the repository email comes out on a Friday. You've got to sign up. It's so good. It really is genuinely brilliant. She puts a lot of effort into it. She sent me this piece of information with a press release. So this is coming out of the, now let me get this right, WP Includes launches survey to explore gender equality in WordPress businesses.
And the idea here, and I'm just going to quote from the PR, from the press release, the gender equality in WordPress business survey will gain critical insight into the gender composition of leadership teams, the experiences of women and gender diverse leaders and employees, and the challenges and barriers to their success. And then it moves on to a quote from somebody called Siobhan McCowan, who is the founder of WP Includes. And it says, our hypothesis is that WordPress business leadership is generally male dominated. This is our experience from working within the ecosystem. We want to both validate this and learn more about the experience of women and gender diverse individuals who are working in WordPress business, especially when it comes to support at work and opportunities for progression. I'm just going to stick my neck out and say, I suspect that hypothesis is entirely accurate, that it is in fact males that dominate the WordPress ecosystem, certainly at the sort of more senior levels in all the organizations, no matter where they are. And this survey is trying to find out how that landscape looks. It's a fairly long one, so they're not shy about it. They say it's a 15 to 20 minute one. So, you know, sit down, grab a cup of tea. And they also say, please do it in one sitting, because the survey platform, which is SurveyMonkey, doesn't allow you to save in this particular case and come back later. So
can I just say something about the survey when you're done?
No, I am ostensibly done. Yeah. Yep. No, go.
So I started this, but didn't actually in the end do it because I couldn't, because it only is aimed at knowing what you're doing now. But what if you lost a job because of gender discrimination somehow or for any other reason, but still have relevant information? You know, if you're not in the job anymore and say you work independently, you're not able to fill in the survey because it assumes that you are working for a WordPress business. But what about if you had a previous experience that is still totally relevant and would give you a critical insight into the issue, you're not able to finish the survey. You can't do it.
I confess.
Sorry, that is a bit of a limitation because I really felt like I was like, yes, I want to respond to this. And I wasn't able to do it because it's like you're assuming, unless they don't want my experience, because it could be that they don't. They're only really interested in people that have a job right now. But if the aim is to work out why women are not in a position of power within WordPress, here's a woman that isn't in a position of power in WordPress and can't tell you anything about it because I don't have a job. And that's only for people that have a job. Does it make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. So there's a field in the form which is inapplicable to you and you can't advance.
I had a look at it, so I can't tell you exactly there was no point for me to go on because all of the questions assumed that you're in a job. So
interesting. I'm sure they'd love to hear that, actually. I'm sure they'd love to hear your experience about filling out.
I actually thought about reaching out to other people that I know that are behind it because...
The URL for this survey I'm not even going to try, but it's a SurveyMonkey one. So it's surveymonkey.com/ and then just pseudo random noise for like 8 characters or something. So I won't try reading out, but it'll be in the show notes tomorrow. So you'll be able to click a link in either the email or on the WP Builds website, or maybe, I don't know, maybe SurveyMonkey gets scraped by Google, in which case you may be able to just Google that and see what comes up. Gender equality in WordPress business survey. As you might imagine, in the press release, I keep wanting to say PR and then realize how confusing that will be. All data collected will be treated confidentially, aggregated and anonymized for the forthcoming report. The report will be made freely available to the public. And it does say this, the initiative. Oh, no, that doesn't apply. I thought it was an answer to some extent to your question, Peter. But okay. Paul, Tim, anything on that before we move on?
Off to you, Tim.
I was just going to ask, who are they looking for responses from? Because it's obviously very focused in what they are looking for in terms of answers, but it doesn't seem to give any indication that they want a broad spectrum of views. It was, who is the survey? Who's meant to fill in the survey? I think that adds on to Peter's.
I'm just trying to see if they address that in the press release. Not that particular thing. Okay. Paul, anything before we move on?
The only thing I really want to say, like, our leadership team, we have two women and four men. I'm not sure I count that as a man, so I think it's probably quite equal. But I think we try really hard, and we're not quite there yet. But I just want to say that all the women in our team are absolutely amazing. And we really love to have women in those roles. And it's really, 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 really important to get women in those roles. So we specifically strive to get great women in.
Okay, so go figure out if the form fits you and obviously fill it out. And thank you to Ray for putting that in my direction. Like I said, the links will be in the show notes tomorrow and you'll be able to go and complete that survey if it applies to you. Okay.
So Dan, from just looking at the first page of it, don't think it is meant to apply to anybody other than somebody who identifies as a woman.
Okay.
At least that's how it appears whenever going through the questions.
The thing is that, though, what about if you used to work for a company that was 99% men-led and you finally kind of... And so you have something interesting to say on your experience there, but can't say it because you're not in that position.
Let me read out, because I actually do have an answer to that question in the press release. It says...
Cool.
We invite everyone, regardless of gender, to join us in this important endeavor. So it may be that upon first reading, that's not as clear as it may be, but that's what it says on the press release. So anyway, links in the show notes tomorrow. Go and help them out, please. Right. Okay. Let us move on. This time, we're going to be talking about the removal of the non-block editor. Is that what we call it? The non-block editor? I thought it was the classic editor. But we'll go with non-block. This is a post on the making.org. Well, it's meta.track.wordpress.org. And this ticket, the idea introduced by this ticket is that in the support forums for WordPress, so the person that's creating this ticket, I presume, has access to data to back this up. They say the vast majority of posts created in those support forums are made using the block editor. And so from that, this argument runs. I'd like to remove the option to opt out, as keeping the option only leads to extra code where bugs could hide. In other words, can we just have the block editor as the editing experience inside the forums? Because that's what most people are using. However, the post then generated a fair amount of commentary, not loads and loads and loads, but certainly a fair amount. And so there's a few people in here who I've spoken to in the past. So for example, Joe Dolson is an accessibility advocate, and he essentially says, I think we need to wait. And then he tags in Alex, and Alex Stein is one of the recipients of the WordPress Community Collective grants. I want to say the grants is the wrong word, but that kind of idea. And he is, I think, entirely blind. So I think he's completely blind, and he says he's not in favor of him. I love this comment. This comment is so to the point. I am not in favor of removing the non-block editor at this time. Maybe when we get serious about accessibility here, it can be discussed in the future, but not until then. And so obviously, if somebody with Alex's experience of things like the forum, if he's saying, no, can we wait, please? Maybe there's something to be said for that. Anyway, it was an interesting idea, got raised, lots and lots of different things came up, lots of people concurring with Alex. I don't have a strong intuition from my own experience, but obviously if people like Alex are saying that, I'm going to just defer entirely to their experience and say, let's just put that on hold, because why would we want to ostracize, I guess, people who require the old editor? Maybe it's much, much, much more straightforward for them to use. No, thank you, Cameron. Yeah, you've corrected me. Yeah, that's great. Not the classic editor in the forum, the non-block editor. Yeah, thank you. You've corrected me. So let me just rephrase that. Cameron has written, it's not the classic editor, it's the non-block editor, which is a plain text editor, not WYSIWYG. Thank you. Cameron, for clearing that up. You know what? Sometimes I say things because I'm thinking about all the different moving parts, and then I immediately think, And then I just think it's just easier to keep going. So thank you for correcting me, Cameron. That's brilliant. Any thoughts on that, ladies and gentlemen?
So just to really, really hammer in that sort of bit, we're talking about the, if you go to WordPress.org and you go to the support forums and you create an account, you go to put a ticket in there. When you go to that ticketing, when you go to that forum and you do a new post on the forum, you're seeing that Gutenberg experience. Yeah. You can click a little thing to make it not the Gutenberg experience, but you get this plain text and some bits like auto do markdown type things.
Markdown was a thing, wasn't it? Yeah.
But it's, there isn't any real markdown in there, but things like links will change from the converted. If Alex says it's not ready and Alex can't use the forums and he is one of the key components of the accessibility team, this doesn't seem like a no-brainer. I felt the I really disliked some of the language that was used in those threads. And it was a really good example of somebody putting in a comment and then not listening to the, not, perhaps they didn't realize who they were talking to, didn't just reacted quickly, whatever it was, but they didn't take the time to just go, hang on a minute, maybe I shouldn't reply back quite so passive aggressively. And I thought the language generally in that thread was quite damning of certain people. And I thought that was the most upsetting thing, because this is going to happen over and over again. We're going to have years of this where, is it ready yet? No, not yet. And it's going to frustrate some people that they want to push it forward and they want it deployed everywhere, but it's not there for everybody yet.
So Courtney, as always, very helpful. Thank you. She says, in the comments, it does also indicate that in the profile settings, folks can toggle back to the non-block editor by default for those that need it. However, it is apparent that it exists anywhere. And she goes on to say, no one knows that it's an option. Of course, they aren't using the classic forum reply option, and they don't know how to find it. Okay, so a little bit more context there. And then, you know, just out of the blue, Patricia is commenting on Cameron's lovely hair color, which is nice. I think more comments like that, please. I too love your hair color. In this little icon, he's got this fabulous blue hair. It really is blue. It's not like, it's just blue, like really, really, really blue. So, Cameron, I fully endorse your hair color as well. For what it's worth. Yep. Anybody else on that then? So my position, I think, is the same as Tim's in the end. If in doubt, leave it alone, because
absolutely. And if in doubt, listen to Alex, who is a very important contributor, as well as being someone who has to live through ableism and the lack of accessibility in our world on a daily basis. Just do whatever he says, I would go with that.
Okay.
I would say.
Thank you so much. Paul, shall we move on? Or
just be better. Let's just be better. Nice. Like, you can well imagine a commercial platform taking that decision. There's no need to do that.
Okay. Thanking you. Right. Okay. We'll move on. As always, that link will be in the show notes if you wish to comment. It is, however, tagged with the number 7593 over on meta.track.wordpress.org. So look for that ticket. Okie dokie. Right. Okay. So a couple of new design things. I'd be interested. I think it's fair to say that Peacher has more design chops than I do. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I have the design skills of a potato. And in fact, I would say that, you know, I'm far, far inferior to a half decent potato. A King Edward, for example, is much, much better at design than I am.
And a potato without eyes.
Yeah. No
eyes. Did I did there.
Okay, here we go. So two new things for you to inspect. Firstly, the forums have had a bit of a refresh. So this is not a project which is like, we've drawn a line. This is all done. This is just the beginnings of things. But in line with the new, I'm just going to call it styling, with the new brand that we've got in the WordPress space, a couple of things have been updated. This is the first one, and you can see a post by Nick Diego. He's got another one, which I'll show you in a minute, about something else. And he's saying that, the forums have been updated. In addition to standardizing the structure, fonts, spacing, and colors, the forum's homepage now matches the layout of the newly designed developer resources, if you're looking at the screen, you can see a selection of screenshots, but probably it's easier if I just go there. And one nice thing, which I thought didn't need to be included, but has been included, is a little toggle at the top here. So if for some reason this really jars with you and you don't like the look of it, you can put the old one back.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And I'm immediately, no, switch back, because that now looks, doesn't it? That looks like my Drupal days or something. I don't know what's going on there. But it definitely looks a little bit dated. And isn't it funny how like 6 months ago, that didn't look dated. And now the minute that I see it compared to that, it really does look dated. And so the design goes a little bit deeper. So I don't know, let's just pick the first one, installing WordPress. You can see there's a sort of slightly broader design here, different color palette and what have you. If you use the old way, you can see, you know, it's obviously just a little bit narrower. I mean, perfectly usable in both cases, but that's how it now looks.
There's and a then slight irony that we're all getting really excited about the little button that toggles between the old way and the new way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Based on the previous conversation. Where
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well spotted. Nice bit of juxtaposition there.
Hello.
And then let me just go in one last thing. I'll just show this picture. So there's what a new Tual post looks like, if you like. And then if we look at the old one, that's what it's like. I'm in favor. Keep it. Keep it. Love it. Well done, Nick, and the team that were behind that. Beecher, sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, no, not at all. It looks miles better. I did exactly like you. I went on the page and then I used the toggle and somebody was like, I'm like immediately back. So that's a good sign. But one thing that I'm wondering, and I'm really, it's like genuine question. I'm not sure why, because one of the sort of basic rules of how to do links accessibly is that anything that is a link must be underlined.
Yeah, so here we see it, right? That's underlined.
They're not, but they're not. You know, they are if you hover over them, but they're not underlined. So I'm just wondering why that.
Oh, sorry,
maybe there's someone.
Meaning that there's one link here which is underlined, but these, for example, these ones are underlined when you hover, but these don't get any of that treatment at all, do they? Interesting.
I really would like to know the reason of that choice. Maybe it's still, because another thing that I'm wondering is if when you take the color out, whether that blue is that different from the sort of black. I'm wondering.
So, if you were to juxtapose this blue, in there, don't know.
That's but it's like genuine question.
Mm-hmm. The article goes on to say, so it obviously gives those screenshots, and just like I said, this is a non-complete redesign. There'll be work to be done. It's intended as a quick iteration. And you can see that basically absolutely everything is in the same spot. You know, the menu contains exactly the same items. The sidebar, I should say, contains the same items. So it's just a bit of a skin over the top. But I'll also throw this one into the mix. So more or less the same treatment. Nick has been busy. Here's another article. The pattern directory gets a refresh and same treatment, you know, the same layout. We get the images before and after. With this one, you can't toggle it backwards and forwards. So when you go there, you are there. And it says with this update, so this is for the pattern directory. It's now using a block child theme and which is sharing the WordPress.org parent theme, laying the groundwork for future improvements. The main changes were to convert everything to blocks and standardize the layout, typography and colors. Rosetta sites have also been updated to use the new design, and the new theme also utilizes the interactivity API, which we mentioned earlier. So there's a little bit less JavaScript on the page because they're using a, you know, sort of standard WordPress library now. Again, it's not finished, but let's have a quick look at that. And I can't show you what it used to look like. At least I couldn't see a toggle at the outset. I was looking for one, but I couldn't see it. But maybe we're better with the screenshots. Here we go. There's the old versus the new. I'm not seeing so much of difference here. Obviously, the images are a little bit more standardized, aren't they? But that looks almost very, very similar. And here, it is much more similar, I would say, than the previous one that we looked at. But again, just making it so that it's consistent, so that if you're sending your clients over to any WordPress.org property, at least it looks like WordPress rather than, well, what's this? What alternative are we looking at here? Anything on those two lovely things? Peacher, I know you've had a try. Tim, Paul, anything?
No, I think the standardization is great. It looks more professional. I think that that clear that that's the focus. There's a lot more room to breathe, which is always important. The crampedness of the old style always it does that to you, where you give a bit more white space, you give a bit more room to breathe, everybody feels a bit calmer about things naturally. I think on the forums that there's something slightly lost with removing iconography in terms of quickly being able to see where you're at. I appreciate it's mid revamp and it's not the full thing, but everything's given like an equal weighting perhaps in that forums, and it's not quite as easy to see where you should be going. It's not intrinsically leading you towards the first, the right place. So I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see better use of search as well, like small search bar. So a bigger search bar. You look at a lot of plugin developer docs or knowledge bases, and just, you know, SaaS platforms that have knowledge bases and things like that. Actually, the way they approach it, relatively consistent nowadays. And there's much more that we can do within that to find information more quickly, I think. So those are my thoughts. But mid revamp, that's where we are, right?
Yeah, yeah. Peter, just give us your expertise on this then. So in an ideal world, what would be a Lynx status when it was inactive? So, for example, installing WordPress, we should have
just
that underlined, right?
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Just and then, underlined.
And then the hover state, so we've got this link, which is underlined, and then when we hover on it, the underline disappears, and we get the icon of the little hand.
Yeah.
And then over here, when we get the little hand icon, so we've got some indication that something's going on there. But is it the right thing to do to remove the underlining upon hover? I mean, I'm not putting you on the spot.
Ideally. Actually, as I am talking, I'm looking, Rian Rietveld, who is a friend of this show and an accessibility specialist, she has a whole article on links and I was looking for it. So in an ideal world, as reference, in an ideal world, they would be underlined and then there would be a hover effect as well. What I usually do to be on the safe side, is I, reverse it out. So if the link is, you'd have a black background and bright text, basically. That's how I would do it. So that there's a hover effect so that when you do that, so that it tells you that it's an interactive element.
With this
but because they haven't done it here, I'm wondering whether from, because, it, yeah, sorry.
I was just going to say the link is on the whole container here, isn't it? So we get that sort of graying effect, which I guess is indicative of something. But if you go down here, for example, there's links which have got the color, but they don't have that underlining. Okay, that's interesting.
Because
thank you.
There's also things that are not. So if you were to do a really basic automated text here, it gives you maybe one contrast issue, which is really not that much. But there are things like I find the type, especially the white on black, for me, very thin. And very small, but I mean, I would make it bigger. That's absolutely fine. But it's really quite thin. So it's more. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't want it to sound like a, you know, criticism, because I think this is a great, you know, great improvement. But pretty much all the things that Paul said, we're saying this is a great start. Let's see where it goes. But you're right that those in the grid, the whole block is a link. So that's, I think, absolutely fine because it does have a hover effect. So I think that's absolutely fine. But I noticed that if you go into them, the links are not underlined.
Okay. Yeah.
So these are all links that are not underlined.
There's a bit of a mixture, isn't there? Some of them are, some of them aren't. But like Nick said in his piece, it's a work in progress. So let's see.
Exactly. It is. It yeah.
This is becoming this kind of look, this thin font. With this sort of serif font in the this seems to be just sort of taking over. Not just, I don't mean WordPress, but I mean the world. So many sites that I visit now seem to have this look and feel to them. It seems to be really, really common. I can't quite put my finger on it.
That happens all the time, doesn't
it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, if you look back at about 2 or 3 years ago, everybody was using circular as the font.
And, yes.
You know, everybody just started to look
grotesque
like
galore everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. And Proxima Nova before that, and every single deck that I ever saw.
you know, it just happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we follow the crowd, don't we? I guess that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, so links in the show notes. You can go and check those out as and when you are ready. But I think nice iterations. So Tammy Lister is in the comments. She's also on the screen. Check it out. This is Tammy's. Sorry, that's really overdramatic, that wasn't it? This is Tammy's website, or at least one of several, I would imagine. This is called Press Navigator. So PressNavigator.com. And I just thought, you know, I like Tammy. And so why not promote the stuff that Tammy's got? So this is the website, and it goes like this. So she's written, keeping up with everything is a quest. Changes happen rapidly. The space is evolving. The wind's changing. Let me help you adapt. I can be your guide, trainer, or collaborator, which then links down to here. So Tammy is offering her services as a guide. And the guide plan is the idea is she's going to help you focus with advice and assistance. Also as a trainer, individual training, or she can train the entire teams, or a collaborator is a bit more like DIY. I'll do it with you. I can create with your team on a project, a product, or with an individual. So there's not many people that have been in the WordPress space as long as Tammy. I'm looking at you, Tim. Maybe you have. I don't. Or maybe Paul. I don't know. But Tammy's been around for ages. As you can see in the footer, she talks about her experience and what have you. So if you are in the niche of looking for a bit of WordPress help, or you just want to help Tammy out by sharing that link, you can do that. PressNavigator.com.
I go one step further and say, if you're a web agency who maybe is using something like Elementor, or you are running on an old version of StudioPress, and you've been looking at doing things with the new block editor, and you might have had a couple of goes, but you can't quite get your head around it, and you know that this is the future, and you want to spend that time and effort to move yourself to the future, then I can't think of a better person to help you, and especially to bring you and show you how to use the block editor. Tammy was instrumental in the original design of the block editor. So I can't think of anybody better.
Transcribe that last minute, Tammy, and stick it on the website under the name Doom Speaker, Tim Nash. No, that's very positive, isn't it? And you're right. You know, there's going to be a niche of people who are just befuddled by WordPress and its new interface. And, you know, they need their team getting onboarded quickly. So there you go. And you are welcome, Tammy. She said, thank you. Of course, you're absolutely welcome. I noticed that somebody's put something in the private chat. I forgot. I missed it. Apologies. It was way back. So,
that's all right.
Yeah, thank you. I missed that. Okay, let's move on then. So this is just a bit of a hat tip to the London community. If you didn't know, the WordPress London meetup, hashtag WPLDN, you can find them at wpldn.uk. I think you actually have to put www. I'm sure it'll redirect, but nevertheless, it always ends up there. Wpldn.uk. They have restarted in-person events after a massive hiatus because of the pandemic. They started a couple of months ago, and they have just onboarded SiteGround as a sponsor. So I just wanted to give Dan and Paul and anybody else that's involved in that a bit of a hat tip. SiteGround, you know what they do. They're a hosting company, but they're also going to be trying to get bodies into the event to, they're going to actively participate in the meetups. So I know that it's a struggle getting these events back up and running. We've kind of got into that situation where we forgot they existed. We don't know what they're like. We remember that there was pizza, but apart from that, you might have forgotten how fun it was to get into a room with people. They're looking to swell the numbers. So go to wpldn.uk. You can sign up as a speaker if you feel like you want to do that. But also you can just get your tickets to future events and get in a room with some people who are going to nerd out about WordPress. You know, I know, Tim, you've been involved in the whole Leeds thing, and I don't know how that's going necessarily, but I'm sure you've experienced the same difficulty in making things real world again.
It's horrifying. It's this idea of trying to put people together in a space.
Yeah.
Leeds is taking it very slowly, but hopefully we'll have like a back in a proper venue and have a speakers sort of towards the end of the summer. at the moment, we're doing more informal meetups, but come the end of summer, the plan is to have speakers again and to rebuild slowly but surely. And Cheltenham had theirs.
Yes.
Right. That's a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And WordPress Northeast has been running apparently in secret mode.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They ran these events, but just I knew nothing about it. It's probably the, apart from Leeds, it's going to be the closest one. So you can see, yeah, they ran a live one. The last one was just a few weeks ago, but they've got one on Thursday. Oh, sorry, apologies. This Thursday, tickets are still available. I should have said that. That was silly of me. WordPress London meetup, April 2024. It's this coming Thursday. It's literally in a few days' time, 25th. And this is interesting, right? The speaker lineup. They've got somebody from Amnesty International talking about the Amnesty International website. And it is really interesting what Amnesty have open sourced around WordPress. You know, WordPress is not their thing. But because they've opted to use WordPress, they've open sourced their theme and a whole bunch of other things that they've done. So anyway, if you fancy going, go and get a ticket and get yourself there. Back in the room, back in the room. I think Brighton was back, Tammy says, as well. Okay. Maybe it's not as bad as we thought. Maybe it's really thriving again and we're just too curmudgeonly to notice. But there we go. Anybody want to chip in on that? I suspect not, but I'll crack on if not. Alrighty. Okay. I just wanted to raise this one. And I don't know, Tim, Paul in particular, you know, you've got plugins and things. This one came up last week and Andrew Palmer dropped it on my lap with about 5 minutes before the show went live. So I didn't really have a chance to read it. And then I read it a little bit more carefully. And man alive, this has generated, look at this. I mean, you don't often, woohoo, woohoo, the comments, what a lot of comments. And this is a sort of slightly, I guess, unexpected consequence of a recent update to WordPress. I could be getting this wrong. If I do get this wrong, somebody tell me off and correct me, like Cameron did a minute ago. When WordPress 6.5 came around, there was a change in the way that plugins, once installed, would, once you'd activated them, instead of going to a full page refresh, it now uses Ajax. So it just sort of in the background, if you like, it updates and says, yeah, the plugin's ready to go. Before, when there was a full page refresh, that could be hooked into by developers to offer you something. Like they could say, okay, well, let's take you over to a welcome screen or an onboarding wizard or something like that. So obviously, this kind of breaks that functionality. I don't know how broken it is or if there's a way for developers to get around it. But anyway, there's obviously a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. People, for example, Andrew Palmer made a comment in here, and he's essentially, if I've paraphrased him right, I can't find his comment now. I think he's saying, can we just go back to how it was, please? Bertha is a plugin of his. Maybe he's using an onboarding wizard to that and has found that it's broken, and therefore, you know, his customers are struggling. But I don't know what your thoughts are. It was never intended that the page refresh would be hijacked to make onboarding wizards. But then once the onboarding wizards are a thing and everybody's been doing it for years, is that now a thing? And to undo that thing is not a good idea. I don't know. Over to you. Figure it out for me.
This is a really good example where you've got two completely conflicting sort of processes where someone's gone, I want to have this so I can go through and go click, 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 click. Activating and this, you can tell the person when this ticket was originally put, they just installed WordPress, they put on all their favorite plugins and they were just activating it really quickly. And I've done that. I'm sure everybody here has done that. And when you got, and so you just want to get process going, but that's not what the average person does. They don't go and install 20 plugins simultaneously. They install a plugin at a time. And we have built in this onboarding process in many, many plugins, including plugins that are really, you know, big like Yoast and WooCommerce. And not, these aren't small little plugins who have just all found an undocumented feature and hijacking it. And they're using the correct filters and actions. They're not doing anything wrong. So it's a bit unfair to say, oh, they shouldn't be doing this because is the reason they're meant to do this if they wish to hijack that URL. So
yeah, Yeah.
It feels like an unintended consequence. And of course, the reaction would have perhaps been best to go, oops, let's revert this or let's make this an option. But we don't like options because options are bad. We've got to have decisions. And then that you get that thread with hundreds of responses. I think it would be quite nice if you could actually, as a plugin developer, say, I have an onboarding wizard. And we built a standardized flow for such things. But I also appreciate that that is going to be complicated and you can't deal with the existing ones who already have this problem. So it would be lovely to be able to have a hook that says, I'm going to want to hijack this because I have an onboarding flow. How feasible that is to implement, though, harder.
Some of the comments that dropped into here were saying, can we not use, so we got this idea, who knows whether it'll ever cross the line, but you know, the sort of admin notifications idea of having a standardized way of having, all the admin notifications. Maybe that would be a place to tidy it all up.
Do you know how many years we've been trying notification.
WordPress is nearly 21 and it's been going for at least 22 years as far as I can tell. I don't have the answer. I can see why a lot of people are upset. I can imagine if you are a company who really has a complicated product and it is just so expedient to drive people through your onboarding wizard, and it really helps you as a company to, I don't know, minimize support requests and all of that kind of stuff, get your plugin set up. Yeah, this does seem a bit difficult to stomach.
I think we've got to the place where like plugins are much more complex than they used to be. And actually that onboarding is so important for a couple of reasons. Firstly, because it's your first time to go and show people where they can access your plugin in the admin, right? Which is actually sometimes quite confusing because plugins appear in all sorts of different places. So, you know, actually taking them through that onboarding step, taking the details from there that you need to be able to set them up with the right preferences, with the right license keys, with the right settings in place. And something like Woo is really important for doing that. And Yoast, again, is really, really important. I think this is a slight disaster, to be honest. And like Tim says, I wish they'd just reverted it and gone, actually, we just need to go away and think about this a bit more because this is going to affect so many people. And it's not just affecting the plugin developers or the plugin authors. It's affecting the users who then don't have that onboarding step and aren't taken through that process and then don't know what they're doing or don't know where to go and find something. So
this is an interesting comment that I confess I didn't see. This escaped me. So this is coming from Kevin Woffman. And he's, I don't entirely know if he's employed by Yoast or not. Apologies, Kevin, if in fact you are. But there's a sort of screenshot here, which I presume is a mock-up. I don't know if this is how Yoast actually works at the moment, but you know, with just a whole load of different options next to the plugin. So finish your first time configuration, FAQ settings, deactivate and troubleshoot all lined up next to each other. Is that kind of what you were talking about, Tim, where you could maybe even at the point where you're installing it, click install and run wizard or, you know, something.
Yeah,
like
no, because those action links have existed for many, many years.
Yeah.
The fact that you're going, oh, is that part of Yoast? Has that been there? I think sums up how well action links work in terms of drawing attention. Now, what I was saying was that the plugin itself should be able to say, I need to hijack this next step. I have a wizard. Please process. Let me process. Okay. I don't think those sort of links do not work. People do not click on them. I mean, many, many years ago when I used to, you know, build a plugin, there was commercial plugin. We did some monitoring just to see if with user testing of do people click these links? And most people didn't realize they were there. And we included things through settings because we did something stupid. And we put our plugin settings in the menu item in WordPress called settings. And we discovered that was a silly place to put it because nobody knew it was there. So we had to make it a top level menu. Now, to try and get around that, we tried giving you the settings in the plugin screen. It just didn't work.
Yeah, it's really.
So without that onboarding process, there is a reasonable chance if your plugin requires some sort of configuration, it won't get configured. And therefore, it will break.
Right. That you've summed it up in one sentence there perfectly, right? If you've got a plugin, and some plugins, let's be honest, are the equivalent of a heavyweight SaaS. You know, they do hundreds of things for you. And if you don't get it set up at the beginning, it's not going to work. And you're going to feel like you've been ripped off, and this thing that you've paid good money for, or you maybe got for free, I don't know, is not working as expected. And it's on you to go through. Okay. So this is core.track.wordpress.org and then ticket, and it's 60992 if you're listening on the audio. There's a lot of commentary and it hasn't dried up yet. So shall we move on? I know time's kind of running out. Yeah. Okay. Let us move on. I'm going to skip that one. I'm just going to say happy birthday. Not, I don't even know if it's happy, but it's not happy birthday, I don't think. I just want to mention that Beaver Builder have got a sale on. If you are looking for a page builder, if that's your thing, Beaver Builder is 20% off at the moment. It says hurry, sale ends soon. I don't know when that is. But if
is it an actual sale or is it an Awesome Motive sale?
Oh, and they're not Awesome Motive, are they, Beaver Builder?
I know they're not, but I was just wondering if it's got an actual...
Well, I see what you mean. No, I think this is actual. I think that is their actual price. They're pretty straight down the line. So I think this is a quick thing, but I don't know exactly what the date is. So anyway, 20% off if you fancy doing that. It's on the website. Just Google it and you'll find it. Right. So I got this the other day, right? A friend of mine, David Wormsley, sent me this. So this is nothing to do with WordPress at all. See what you think about this. Should the browser handle light and dark mode on websites? You know, it's becoming a real interesting feature of a lot of websites that they've got a toggle somewhere, typically top right. Do you want to be dark mode or light mode? I am increasingly dark mode everywhere. Which I know to many people is just like, oh, for the love of Mullenweg. But I've just decided that's the way I want my screens to look. And now when I see a big white page, it freaks me out a bit. But this article is saying, what if the browser took on that and there was some sort of, I don't know, in-browser experience where you told the browser, okay, remember my choices for this website. And obviously you'd have to build the website in a certain way that hooked in with that. But I just thought that was a really fascinating idea. The idea of letting the browser take that rather than each website builder having a different UI with a different toggle in a different part of the website that you may find or you may not find. And so there you go. Now, in the old fashioned way of a university lecturer, discuss. You've got 34 seconds to figure this out.
Does anybody want to change? Once you've made a decision whether you like dark mode or light mode, do you change on a per website basis?
I need to have high contrast. So I use dark mode across the board, but I do need to regularly change colors. Quite a lot of the dark mode websites will use a color palette that I find incredibly difficult to read.
Okay.
Their light version is slightly more readable, but 9 times out of 10 is just horrifyingly burning my eyes. I have a CSS Grease Monkey script that basically turns the color palette into more muted purples for some dark sites.
You've rolled your own. That's neat.
I just have a little shortcut on my that runs a little bit of extra CSS to change the color palette.
Right. Okay. There are some things that, like, if it's a website, I want it dark, if it's possible to have it in dark. But so this is weird, right? Why wouldn't I want Google Docs in dark? I don't know, because I'm used to paper being white. And I don't even think Google Docs have got a dark mode, to be honest. But if they did implement that, I would immediately want to switch it off and make it look like paper again, if you know what I mean. And so I do. Yeah. There are some things that I do flip between, yeah. But maybe me and Tim are both weird.
No one's weird.
Dark mode.
You need to revise your notion of normality, Nathan. It doesn't exist. Nobody's weird. So... this is really quite interesting for me because I often think So where to start with this one? Because it's quite a vast topic for me. So I have slowly sort of trained myself to consider design on the web as something that needs to be usable by everyone. That's what it is. So in terms of dark mode and light mode, if you want your website to be visible and usable in both dark and light mode, that means that you have to really simplify the design massively. And in terms of, so I am not there yet. So my website, for instance, is half dark and half light. So because this way I feel like I cater to everyone, and I don't use white. Obviously, I don't use full white, and I don't use full. It's almost white and almost black. It's never full white and full black. Where do we start from?
Should the browser?
So that's the thing. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's the thing. So with a website that isn't quite, not every website is immediately translatable to that. Because what if you use a colorful background because you like it, which we can agree that maybe is not the right criteria to build a website. If you want to do something just because you like it, do something else. Don't do a website. This is kind of what I preach at the same time. So I'm sort of arguing with myself, but my point is, the point is that there are two points. The one is that not all websites are equally visible, so easy to toggle. Let's just say it's not a done thing. There are images, even PNG images, that would look great on a dark background, but don't make any sense or are not even visible against a white background, for instance. So if we go back to totally brutalist design with nothing else other than what you need, then yes, we could do that. But also in terms of, let's even assume that you can toggle, that every website is makes sense in dark or light, that every designer thinks in those terms, and therefore your website can be toggled easily. But you still have different circumstances. For instance, I prefer the light mode, but maybe when I'm out and it's a really bright day, I can't do with light mode. I need dark mode. I can't have dark mode in the evening. Like Google Maps goes dark mode in the evening, and I go, I can't see it. I need dark mode in the daytime. So can we customize and train the browser to do that, or can we change it back? I don't think it's a yes or no answer, basically. I think there are still way too many variables to.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet.
I just like the idea in the same way that Mac OS gives you the option to like basically skin everything dark mode or light mode or auto, which actually I think is what Courtney's saying here. She has it so that at dusk it goes into dark mode. See, that's the even that's yeah, like different. I'd have it the other way around. I'd have it the other way around. But Courtney, fair enough. But Mac OS tries to skin everything in the whole OS, and sometimes it's some developer didn't quite figure that out, and it's a bit of a mess. But I just thought that was a neat idea. And who knows?
I think it's better in the browser because you can remember it, right? And that rather than every website and to do
every website doing something, rolling your own. Exactly. Amazing. So dark mode, Schnazzy, hi there. Dark mode is incompatible with some emails received in Gmail on mobile. Oh, is it? Oh, emails in Gmail in dark mode, like 50% of everything is just not there. So if there are any incompatibility issues with links or transparent text, so I completely get that. That makes sense. And then Reese Wynn. Hello, Reese. Samsung's main internet browser does programmatically try to apply dark mode. It's terrible. We've stepped into a minefield here. I think it may be the minority. So Patricia says, I think I may be the minority here, but white text on a dark background equals after 10 seconds, I get some retinal persistence. Ooh.
So that's, I need to interject here because Patricia, you're not the minority. Well, me too, I get the same. And it's called palinopsia, basically. It's a in my case, I have it really strong. So whatever I look at, I get retinal persistence. If I look at anything, whether it's bright or not, and I look somewhere else, I get the phantom image in my retina. So that's how I live my life. I thought it was normal until until someone told me, you know, an optician said, no, not normal. Again, what is normal? That's my normality. So, you know, there's no normal or not. It's called palynopsia.
It's a sad day.
Retinal persistence.
I was on the phone to a good friend of mine earlier today, and he said, I will give you £10 million if somebody says the word palynopsia on your podcast today. And I declined. And I should have taken up on it.
I get that with blinds. I don't like, do you get when you look at blinds?
Because they're bright. Yes, but I get it with anything, whether it's bright or not bright. I just, that's how I see phantom images everywhere.
I know this is a bit like GCSE psychology, but I've always like just the notion that my green. So when I stare at a field full of grass, my green is that. I've always found it fascinating that I have no expectation that your green looks anything like my green. Your green might be my purple. And how deep is that? I mean, I bet you all realize that when you're about three, but it still freaks me out that I have no idea what it is that you're seeing. I have a friend who there's several colors that he can't see, and he sees them all as yellow. So stuff that is this color that I distinctly see as different is always yellow for him. And that was quite a realization for him when he suddenly realized at a fairly older age, shall we say, somebody actually pointed out that something was different. He was like, what? No.
Yeah.
Took him years to get over that. Anyway, I'm for the browser taking it on. Okay, let's move on quickly because time is really, really running out. Pete, Tim, you're going to have to come back and tell us why this article is nonsense. I'm so sorry. Do you feel cheated? Do you have lots? Okay, should we do it quickly? Okay, first of all, can I ask, do the three of you have anything which means you can't overrun by 5 or 10 minutes?
No.
Okay. And are you happy to overrun by 5 or 10 minutes?
Well,
the answer to that is also no. No.
Well, I think Tim's getting ready to overrun by more than 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah. So. Okay. So, Tim, you'll have to do the...
You've got your drinks ready, right?
You'll have to do the expurgated version. Because I came across this website and it was said it's called, it's by the New Stack or the News Tack, I don't know which, why PHP users declined by 40% in just over 2 years. And I lapped this up. I was like, oh, this is interesting. People are like this on the show. Thinking, look at that graph in particular, that precipitous drop here in PHP usage. And then I showed it to Tim and he went, oh, it's not accurate. He said other words, but not accurate sums it up. So is it not? Is PHP not in decline? And I should say the reason this article's on this show is because they squarely point the target on Facebook, on WordPress. They say that WordPress's move towards a much more JavaScript orientated platform is in many ways responsible. So Tim, doomsayer, doom speaker, whatever it is, put us straight. Tell us why this is nonsense.
So, as we know, WordPress has about 37%-ish of the websites in the top 100 million or whatever the statistic is.
43.
And it's been gradually increasing year on year and evens out there. Every single one of those websites runs PHP.
Oh, for God's sake, it's a maths thing. Right, I get it. Yeah, okay.
If there was a 40, that means that there's a 100% drop in the other sites.
Yeah, okay. I
mean, Drupal has gone, Magento has gone. Oh, and Facebook disappeared overnight if we're doing it based on number of people.
Right.
The math doesn't add up. But the thing that really wound me up in this article were the quotes about WordPress, where it's like, WordPress has become JavaScript focused. So like, yeah, but it hasn't made the PHP go away.
Yeah, that's right. Just gone.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, Matt's quote that he put out a few years ago has done nothing but harm.
Oh, was this the learn JavaScript deeply quote?
Yeah, then the WordPress is JavaScript is now a JavaScript focus, and obviously he was trying to get people excited and engaged with the Gutenberg and the block edits. But the reality is that the core of WordPress is never going to become a node application. lamp stacks that, so when you go and buy hosting, you set up a lamp stack, a Linux SQL PHP. Now the Apache's gone mostly, but if you look to the statistics of Apache dropping off like a click, sure. Have you look at the statistics that Nginx is riding up on it? There are other HTTP servers. MySQL, all that disappears. You've got predominantly MariaDB. There are MySQL clones. PHP? PHP sits there. It's been there and it's going to continue to sit there. Why do these statistics show things like this? Partly because people aren't reporting their PHP versions because we've been telling them for years not to. Partly because they're relying on Stack Overflow statistics of popularity contests, and everybody wants to say that they program in Rust, even though the number of Rust developers in this world are about 10. there is a bunch of people who are JavaScript developers who really, really, really would like to pretend that they have jobs and that they are the people who you should spend lots and lots of money on. So there's a lot of people who's trying to sell you the dream of a JavaScript developer. If you were getting into development today, that might be a good route for certain people. There is certainly a lot more JavaScript in WordPress, but PHP is still the core thing. WordPress will not run unless you have PHP. You could actually run WordPress without JavaScript.
Yeah. That'd be a fun experiment. Yeah.
But you can't run it without PHP. Yes, I'm aware that some very clever person put it in a WebAssembly.
Did some
fancy pants stuff over there. Yep. But it barely works, and it's an experiment, and it's still running PHP and the other thing. PHP cannot have dropped 40%. Mathematically, it's not possible. This article was written by a journalist who needed to have a nice sensationalist headline, but got a bunch of statistics together, borrowed one statistic from one thing, showed a pretty graph of a massive drop off, and went, look!
It suckered me in. That graph had me freaking out.
If you stop for 2 seconds and think about it, you go, but we still have all these WordPress sites, and they still run, and WordPress still runs PHP.
This is my problem, Tim. I never stop for 2 seconds to think about it, whatever it is. It's very rare that I stop and think about things. However, Cameron does. Cameron of the blue hair, who, by the way, is up at 5:30 o'clock. I don't know what time it is there, but it's not clever, Cameron. Go to bed. No, please don't. WordPress has much more JavaScript than before Gutenberg, but it is more PHP with each release too. How on earth could someone come to that conclusion that it's WordPress doing is beyond any logic? I think Tim has sharing your intuitions. Right, Peacher, you are going to have to do this on you're going to have to get a helium balloon, right? Suck in all the helium and then speak quickly because Peacher's got a little pitch that she wants to put to you. But we're running out of time so quickly. So if you do it in a high-pitched voice at great speed, that would be comedy gold. Here we go. So what are we looking at here? The Accessible Typography Masterclass.
So I should have really thought about it beforehand, Nathan, shouldn't I? I should have got helium, which I don't know if you know, but it's a finite resource.
Yeah, okay. I'm not actually advocating that now.
Helium.
Those at home, don't take helium for comedy effect.
Do not do it. Do not try this at home. So I teamed up with Jonah Tolley, who is a UX legend, and we are doing an Accessible Typography Masterclass. What else to say? That's it. Come, do it.
Oh, that was so neatly done. Okay, so I'll just paraphrase. So you go to peachandery.com/, each of these words is hyphenated, Accessible Typography Masterclass. I will put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, I should actually do what you do and change the URL to ATM and do a redirect. Maybe I should do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
ATM is very rememberable. So we're starting.
Is it free?
It's
not?
No, it's not actually free. Thank you, Tim. If you want to click on what's included in a masterclass, Nathan, that will take
I do want to click on that. That was literally what I was about to do. Yeah. There you go. That's what's included.
That's what's included. And why typography? Because arguably 95% of the web is still typography, and you can challenge me on that. Please do. I won't take you up on the challenge because I can't prove that figure.
Honestly, Peter, I think it's more like 94.7, something like
that. Right, I think you might be right. Yeah, everybody has to write on the web, and in fact, this masterclass is not even just for designers. It's for anybody who has to write anything on the web. And we touch on quite a few things that you might have not considered before, but that you will find very useful. So link, here we are.
Link in the show notes. If you add hashtag enroll, you'll get straight to the what's in it page as well.
Well, yeah, no, and you can't forget about the coupon. There's a special
coupon. Wait, there coupon. Is a coupon there, and I'm trying to find. Where's the coupon gone? It is. It's WP Builds 13. It's valid until the 25th of April. So if you're attending WordCamp London, you can just buy it while you're there because it'll still be valid when you're there. So that's two things. It's two things for you to do this week. Attend WordCamp London and buy Peach's course with the coupon code. And very quickly, because we really have overrun, free accessibility primer course. Here's a free thing. And again, I will link to this in the show notes. Do you want to just describe it quick?
It's just exactly as it says on the tin. It's a brief introduction to accessibility, clarifying a few basic concepts on what it is, who needs it, and so on. Hint, we all do. With special attention to how it relates to typography. And it's totally for free. The workshop is a workshop, so it will be more practical, but you can see whether, you know, you like my delivery, you hate it. You can, you know, familiarize yourself with the way I teach with a free course and maybe learn something in the meantime.
Or
maybe not. Who knows?
Let's hope that it's in the affirmative. I will put a link into the show notes for that as well. And in a really interesting comment right at the end, Elliot Richmond, hi, Elliot, said, interestingly, the PHP usage stats, like, easy for you to say, Nathan, the PHP usage stats pretty much mirror the global pandemic lockdowns. Who knew? I didn't realize that PHP as a language could be in a lockdown situation. But there you go. Apparently, no. Thank you, Elliot. Appreciate that.
And apparently, it's hard. It.
Maybe, what's that?
Maybe it's to do with the fact you can't sniff PHP properly.
Oh.
Very good.
Oh, that is the nerd joke. I think of the entire series that we've ever, episode 294, that was plumbing great depths. Very good. I like that. Okay. First of all, I'd like to thank my three guests. Thanks to Paul Halfpenny. Thank you to Peach Neri. And thanks to Tim Nash. And also thanks to the wide... Honestly, they're all over the place, aren't they? For everywhere on the globe, people coming in to drop in comments. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's all a conspiracy, says Rhys. I agree. And on that bombshell, we're going to do the slightly humiliating hand wave of joy just before we end the episode. And look, everybody's so willing to put themselves up for this humiliating
spectacle. Do we have an option?
Well, you could just refuse and, you know, I don't know what I'd do in that case. I'd probably just get Photoshop out, give you massive hands like that or something. That would be fun. Right. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back next week with some different guests. And
book Beach's course.
And don't forget to book Peach's course, right? In which case, I am out of here. See you next week. Take it easy. Bye.